All right, I am recording.
As am I. All right. This week's episode is brought to you by the brown liquid.
Don't you mean...
That's right, diarrhea.
I also wonder if our country hooge pooge is just going to get more and more nonsensical the more we pre-record the other podcast.
Probably. That's exactly what's going to happen. We got to get on Rogan's level being able to do like 3-hour podcasts.
Well, 3-hour podcasts would be easy if all I had to do today was make a 3-hour podcast and then make millions of dollars.
Yeah, if we were to do like a 3-hour power hour, oh my god, that'd be amazing.
Man.
That'd be fun.
That'd be crazy. I've never even, like, I mean, granted, every time you power hour, you're going to then keep drinking the rest of the day, but how many consecutive minutes do you think you could do power hours before you just be like, I am going to die. I have to be done.
I'd probably between the 3 and 4 hour range, I would assume.
Probably.
I mean, that's at least before where it's just like, I don't want to do these shots anymore.
I mean, it would just get drinking. Aggravating for sure. It would get aggravating and just, you know, I want to hear the full song. I don't want to hear 30 seconds of a song. God damn it. But yeah, that's interesting to think about.
Well, because if you think about it, you do about 5 beers. Well, we do more because we usually fill the shots up more. But in reality, yeah, it's supposed to be 5 beers in an hour, which means if you did 4 hours, that's only 20 beers, which we've done many times. 20 beers is not a difficult thing for us. Because I
would say it's definitely, I think it would definitely be easier to do, instead of you're going to do 4 hours of power hour in a row, so you can either do that, or you have 4 hours, finish these 20 beers. I think I could definitely do the other one. I could do the 20 beers just like at my own pace. Because
with the Dicks Out for Harambe video that you sent the other week, that was that night where you and I both drank a case by ourselves. So we drank, 24 beers each or whatever? Then that was before we went to the bars? Or
never forget.
That night? I think we went to the bars that night.
We did. I
don't remember. That was back when Raj and Rendoni lived together. That was a fun time.
Yes.
Anyway. Anyway, hello, welcome to the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge.
Yo!
This week, we are hopping back into Kevin's vinyl collection. We're kind of cheating a little bit, because he technically hasn't bought this one yet, but he will. I know he will.
It is definitely on the slate of the next batch that I want to buy. So, like I talked about on the podcast how many ever weeks ago it was where I bought a whole bunch of more. But I bought literally, 12 vinyls in, 3 days because I was just like, I need them! So, yeah. I'm, forcing myself to take a chill for a while, but this is definitely on the list to acquire next.
Yeah, we wanted... I just kind of was like, you know, let's just do one that I know really well. So I figured, let's do Josh Abbott Band's Front Row Seat, because I do love this album. It's, as I've said many, many times, it was like my favorite of 2015. I still listen to it a lot. So I figured, hey, fuck it, let's just hop into this one. So,
absolutely. It is absolutely a great album.
Yeah, the only rant I have really is just a reminder, go over, listen to Unbearable, our other football podcast. We wrap up week one mostly about how the Bears have disappointed us and we're sad boys because of it. And then we talk about our fantasy team, how terrible I was in my confidence picks for week one. I'll say it later. I was going to say I got last place in both my things, but that's I could have said that in the other podcast. Anyway, I'm going to throw up the episode in this feed, so if you're seeing this podcast, you're also seeing that one. Please give it a listen. Let us know if you like it. Go over and listen to it on any of the platforms to listen to, except SoundCloud, because I don't upload it through that. But
We talk about the Bears, obviously, because we are Bears fans, but we do talk about, I mean, as we go through the confidence picks, we talk about the other teams. We try to guess on what we think is going to happen the rest of the year. So if you're a football fan, there'll be stuff for everyone, and our usual just... complete stupidness. So
yes,
there's that.
Our stupidity. So yeah, that's also linked below if you want to just, I'll have it in the link, the info if you want to find it that way. But yeah, so let's hop straight into the vinyl of the week, Josh Abban's Front Row Seat. As stated before, this is by far, it's my favorite Josh Abban album. It's one of my favorite, it's probably like a top 10 album for me of all time. I love this album so much. It's,
yeah, this is for sure my favorite Josh Abban.
If you haven't heard this one before, when it was released, they took it away. They took off like the acts part of the song titles, but it was five acts, and I mean, they had weird names to it, but pretty much it was Living Single and Free, Falling in Love, Being in Love, Breaking Up, and Getting Over the Breakup. And so it was just this really cool thing of a cycle from start to finish of a you know,
sickle cell anemia, the
mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
There may be only one thing every American remembers from school, but it is that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Anyway, but yeah, so it's a really cool way of making an album, because usually albums, it's like one happy song, two sad songs, two happy songs, a sad song, and it just kind of goes back and forth, whereas this one, it goes from happy to sad to kind of uplifting again, and it's a really cool way to put an album together.
I really like it, because precisely what you just said, it's something that doesn't happen all that often, where there's a very clear and obvious journey from the beginning to the end. You know, there's a lot of albums, you know, you usually try to have similar themes, you have things that play off other songs, the track listing matters obviously for most albums. Some of the shit nowadays does not matter whatsoever. But I do think it's really cool that this you know, this album is just following the journey of a relationship, and it's really cool.
Yeah, so we'll hop right into it. Track number one is While I'm Young.
No matter what band plays, I'll have a beer in my hand, leaning up against the stage. Someday I might be worried about saving all my cash, but tonight all I'm looking for are memories that last. There'll be time enough for serious when the bars are closed and all is said and done. So I'm having fun while I'm young.
This is just pretty much fucking. It's pretty much a song of, it's the bro country-ish kind of thing of like, do all this stuff while you're still young, while you still can, live in young, wild, and free type thing, and it's just a really upbeat, happy song, and I mean, this is probably my favorite of the first act, looking at the other two.
It's nice too, because it seems like The fact that you know, when you think about the way that they wrote this album and put it together, you know, they already knew where they were going with it. So it seems, you know, at least in my brain, that there's some sort of self-awareness to it, where it's not just like, let's just be stupid and have just a fun song just to kick it off. It's like, it seems like the naivety, essentially, of the song with just, do shit while you're young, you know, you're bulletproof, all that shit, is really cool the way that it then leads into eventually going down the shitter.
Exactly. Speaking of taking a shit, number two.
Indeed.
Number two is I've Been Known.
And I'll do my best to answer any questions you might ask about my life, but I must warn you, some stories might make you laugh, like I've been
This one I find kind of ironic, because he has the line of like, I don't condone a cheater lie, and he cheated on his wife and now married
and
to his...
He for sure did.
Yeah. But the song itself, I do like it, because it's like this thing of, like, I've been known to get drunk and do a little, you know, driving around or whatever, but I don't condone a DUI. So it's like this thing of kind of like, I've done my fuck-ups, but I don't condone any of it. I don't want you to live that kind of thing, but at the same time, yeah. I've been known to be kind of a screw up and, you know, again, the young, wild, and free type bullshit. And,
yeah, it's a fun one for sure.
Yeah.
And clever.
Yeah. Track number 3, Live It While You Got It.
Said to take a left, we got a story to write, and it ain't pennies that are going in the fountain tonight. I'm looking all around, she said nobody knows. You're gonna wanna start taking off your clothes, and I'll never forget the way she said, you gotta live it while you got it. You gotta live it while you got it. Don't be afraid at the end of the day. You gotta live it while you got it.
It's pretty much the same thing as While I'm Young. It's these songs are all kind of synonymous with each
other.
Yeah,
it's kind of... kind of unnecessary to have all of them, except for if they were just like, we gotta make sure there's enough before so that it looks balanced. But yeah, it's kind of redundant.
Yeah, it's a little redundant. We don't mean to be speeding through this, but we're gonna have more to say with the later songs for sure.
Yeah, because I fucking love them.
Yes. Speaking of which, getting to the first one that I really love is number 4, Wasn't That Drunk.
I know we were laughing, saying whatever.
This one obviously features Carly Pearce, who we have talked about many times, even though she's definitely gone down that pop country artist route. But
yeah, well, she
definitely started
off
doing stuff
like
this. She
got married to fucking Tribal Tattoo Man. And,
oh,
yeah.
Are they married now? I saw that they were dating a long time ago.
I think they are?
I don't know or care. So
to be that's exactly where I'm at. Where it's like, I want to say I saw some picture where they were just like married and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's possible. I stopped following Carly Pearce on Instagram like a year and a half ago because her shit got annoying. But
smart.
But this song itself, getting into that, not Tribal Tattoo Man, it's a cool song about like this, oh, we only did this because we were wasted last night. We made the mistake of doing this. And then both of them are just like, yeah, but I wasn't that drunk when we did that. Like, I really wanted to. It wasn't the booze talking. I wanted to be with you. And it's a kind of this cool, like, meet together at a party, but blame it on the alcohol, but it's really not the alcohol's fault. It's you're actually falling
exactly.
in love.
Exactly. You can just blame it on that to try to, you know, you're guarding yourself from the, like, oh, you know, if I care about them, but if they don't actually care about me, oh, you know, just blame it on the booze, you know, I don't really care. But then it turns out both of them are like, no, I care, and I mm-hmm. wanted to do this. And so that's for sure, that's pretty neat. Because I think about, too, the other Josh Abbott band with Casey Musgraves.
Tonight?
Yeah, I think of it kind of like that, where they're like they're both thinking the same thing, but they don't necessarily say it to each other until, you know, shit happens.
Yeah, and what's his nuts? Earl Dibbles is in that music video too. yeah, I mean it's the guy who plays him, whatever that dude's name is, Granger. That's one. He's in that music video for that one. But
yes.
Now, yeah, this one was the one that introduced us to Carly Pearce. Because I remember we were, like, screaming her name. We were, like, praising her when this came out. And then
Every Little Thing came out. And that was the only shit I heard. And I was like, all right, that's amazing.
Yeah, and then she did Hide the Wine. Which is, actually, I don't mind Hide the Wine. But, like, it just went down.
No, it's just the general trend, you know. When I have you established in my brain as a person who absolutely excels at slower songs, and then you just kind of abandon that completely, it's like, well, fuck.
Yeah, well, and then also because she gained kind of her notoriety from being a bluegrass singer. Like, she would sing at Dolly World or whatever, at, like, bluegrass, and then suddenly she's just like, nah, I'm gonna do what they want me to do instead.
But have you heard of tribal tattoos?
That is true. I need to get a tribal tattoo, and then I'll be successful.
And then you'll be cool, and then we'll have listeners.
Is that why no one listens? I don't have a tribal tattoo. It's not coming through on the microphone.
Yeah, everyone's very aware. There's like, that dude doesn't have tribal tats. Click.
Fuck me. Anyway, next is number 5, Kiss You Good.
I don't want to be your walk of shame. Forget your name, the one you hate makes you say no next time.
Kiss You Good. I don't know.
Kiss You Good. Kiss You Right on the Mouth, Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, it's just another love song of just like the, I'm gonna butt fuck you. I don't know. It's a fine enough song. This is one, this is definitely a mid-album one that I'm just like, oh, that's cool, next.
The thing that also I think is hilarious is that this and then the next one, they both have good in the title, and it's kind of annoying that they both have good in the title.
And I'm pretty sure these two have sound similar instrumentally, so I get confused. I think the same song's playing twice in a row, but it's not. But yeah, the next one, speaking of which, is If It Makes You Feel Good. This one is kind of like the Wasn't That Drunk, where it's like, you know, if it makes you feel good, just do it. Don't let your whatever stop you, the social stigmas or whatever the fuck. Just do what
makes you feel good. If it makes you feel good, I'm going to kiss you good.
On the mouth, Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers.
But yeah, it's another falling in love song, which is what these three words, the act two of the falling in love part of a relationship. And for that, like, I don't think these songs are very deep, but I mean, other than Wasn't That Drunk's not that deep, but other than that, they're not meant to be super deep. They're just love songs. And I think they get it across that that's what they are. But
absolutely.
The better love song is next, is number 7, Crazy Things.
Crazy things roll off your lips, as innocent as honey drips, and you whisper, I know you'll ever need soft and sweet. Crazy things like you feel blessed to have me.
I really love this one. This is one of my favorites on the album, too, where it's just like the, wow, she's saying all this crazy shit, like, she loves me, and like, kind of that thing of where you're kind of making yourself out, you're kind of, it's like a self-deprecating type album, where she's like, she says all these crazy things, like, you're the only one I want, and I love you, and all this kind of stuff, and it's just a really clever thing of kind of, bashing yourself while being like, why does this girl even love me? I'm not really worth loving in a kind of a
sense.
Dude,
I love these kind of songs, which is a red flag, in case you're wondering.
Kevin is single. But next up is the titular song, is number 8, Front Row Seat.
Happy as the world gets, just a glimpse of you. Front row seat.
Do love this titty song.
It's about going to the strip club. Just setting your dollar right there on the stage for her to come
over. And
he's
just like, man, I can't believe I have a front row seat, and it only costs a dollar.
But in reality, it's not about strip clubs. It's about,
unfortunately,
peep shows. No,
it's actually about peeping on your neighbors. No, okay. I actually do really love this song.
Looking through the fence hole.
This is one of them. I would say, outside of the sad songs throughout the back half, this is probably the one I listen to the most as far as the happy songs. Because I also don't listen to happy songs all that much, but I absolutely love this song. I think it sounds really good, the way that he goes through the chorus. You know, just as, you know, talking about as bad as the world gets, you know, how is he so lucky? And it's just, yeah, I like it a lot.
No, yeah, it's a great love song. Next is number 9. The next song, the second song with Kiss in the name, is Kisses We Steal.
It's the kisses we steal, thoughts we reveal, around the corner, just out of sight. Whisper real close, 'cause I won't know what you got in mind for later tonight. It's the kisses we steal. Kisses we steal make me want you so much deeper. Kisses we steal.
Steal good, kiss good, steal good.
If it
good,
makes you good. Feel good that you kiss the steals good. But yeah,
is
this
it
is
good?
Just a,
is it
this
good
is one
for
of the,
you?
This is definitely one of those upbeat, like, super quick love songs of, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, a not sitting still, like, getting in the car and driving fast with your woman type songs, where it's just, like, about this really... with your woman. Like, it's just one of those really quick, upbeat songs about being in love, like, pedal to the floor type, you know, love song type thing. And it's a good one. It's another one I don't listen to too much, but... there aren't really any bad songs on this album, I don't think. There's just kind of ones that are like, that's fine.
Yeah, and it's a really good, it's a great album to just let it flow through. If you were trying to just pick random songs here and there, it doesn't have as much listenability. But yeah, it's not like there's anything bad. It's just, it's nice to let them just fucking flow.
Yeah, but speaking of bad, we get into... now, actually... let's see, we're in Act 4 now, is number 10, Born to Break Your Heart.
Some battles you can fight forever, some end before they start. Some lovers find a way together, and some just fall apart. Don't think it doesn't hurt me to leave you in the dark.
This is where they start, just each song is phenomenal.
Yes.
And I love this one where it's just like, this is where the decline in the breakup starts happening, where it's just like, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I feel like I was just born to break your heart. Like, I'm born to fuck up. I'm not, this isn't going to work because I'm just a major fuck up. And
yeah, because it's not even like... you know, it's not even like he's saying, like, I don't even, like, I don't love you anymore, and I'm just, you know, I'm better with what I, he's just like, it almost feels like an inevitability, which is a really cool way to look at it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Which is a very pessimistic view, but it's, yeah.
It's my favorite view.
Yeah, America. Next up is 11, Ghosts.
Say you already.
It is a spoopy song.
It's a, yeah, it's just actually just a Halloween song singing about Frankenstein and mummies and ghosts.
They just cover Monster Mash and that's it.
Exactly. Next song. No, it's just one of those kind of, it's not a completely original idea, but it's the song where it's just like, I'm going around and I'm just seeing ghosts of, like, your memory type thing, and...
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to see, look up the lyrics just to be... I do love the lyric in the chorus, though, where it's just like, you say you already know, do you really want to watch this man drown and go? So it's really just kind of this thing of, like, do you want to watch me suffer and just walk away from it kind of thing, and... goodbye is the hardest part. I was supposed to hold your heart like the grains of sand through my hands. It fell apart. And it's just this amazing, amazing breakup song about just regretting every terrible thing that's happened. And yeah, seeing the ghosts that are kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Next up is number 12. This Isn't Easy, in parentheses, her song.
This isn't easy.
Next song that was my favorite, but I think this is my favorite song from this album. I've listened to this one so many fucking times. It's that I love this song so fucking much, because this is like Amnesia, which, spoiler alert, is the next
track. God, you let people know about the track off an album that is 4 years old. How are they supposed to know what we were gonna talk about next?
I know, I'm sorry. But, like, Amnesia is, like, a really cleverly written song about, you know, wanting to forget. But this one, I feel like, is the most from-the-heart, heartbreak, torn, like, heart-ripped-out-of-your-chest type song, where it's just, like, because the opening line is just, like, I'm blanking out. But it's, like, you say you want to talk, but, like, I just can't do it right now, like... How dare you say you want to, like, speak to me type thing, like, after what you've put me through.
Oh, yeah. I can't... yes. I can't remember what the actual line is, but it's great like that. Look it up!
Yeah, no, I really don't have time to talk to you, and how dare you even ask me after all the hell you put me through. Like, it's such a powerful lyric like that,
yes.
Where it's just like, and I never said this wouldn't be hard, but this time I've got to guard my heart. Like, it's this thing of, like, I have to let you go, but it's killing me to do it. Like... it is impossible for me to say, like, no, get the fuck out of my life, but I have to. Like, for my own sanity, I have to tell you to, like, leave me alone. And it's such a powerful fucking song that I think this is my favorite off the album. But obviously, I understand if your favorite is the next one, which is number 13, intro, Josh Abbott Band Reads the Dictionary. but no.
I do... it's a fine intro if you want to have intros, whatever.
Yeah.
But it does really bug me that he just, like, reads the definition. He's like, yep, that's it. And I'm like, okay.
Amnesia. It's a brain injury or emotional.
I forgot what this word meant until I read it. No, but honestly, Amnesia is, you know,
which is number 14, which is Amnesia, yeah.
Wouldn't have to forget you, or even know I'd ever met you. To regret you or let you wreck me one more time. What I don't know wouldn't hurt me if I can lose my memory. I think maybe I'd be fine if I just lost my mind. I wouldn't have to replace you. I could just erase you. And I wouldn't have to know how much I need. Something stronger than tequila.
Yes, this is my favorite song. It's so relatable. The way that he, you know, because the prevailing thing in society is, you know, it's better to have loved and lost than to never love at all. But this is like, bro, this sucks so hard. I honestly wish I had no memory of this. Like, I don't care how good it was. I am hurting so bad because of this that I'd rather just it never have existed. And it's such a crazy thing to think about, especially because of the fact you think about, you know, how long a relationship could be and how many great times there were. But the way that he, it's just incredible. I love it so much. And just like sonically, it sounds great. It sounds great. It's all of it comes together very nicely.
No, yeah, I do. Yeah, this is by far, like, it's right there in close second place for me. Just because, like I said, I think this isn't easy. It's just such a, like, straight from the heart song, whereas this is more of kind of the more thought out, clever, you know, kind of lyrical one. But I do love this one where it's just like, I don't fucking care what people are saying. I just want to forget this ever happened. I don't want to remember anything about you. I want all of this gone. And it's, that's another very powerful sentiment of not, like, I don't want to move on. I want this part of my life gone from my memory.
Exactly. Like, because if any part of this remains, I don't know if I'll ever be able to get over it. And it's just like, damn.
Yeah, exactly. Nah, it's phenomenal. The next two are ones I don't know that well, but number 15 is Autumn. By tomorrow she'll be leaving. She can't take it here no more. She's never cared much for November, and she will not be ignored. In search of a beholder, she's beautiful despite her.
I just know that he says the autumn's turn into fall. it's about shit changing and getting over things. And so I think the idea of autumn is, you know, the shit dies so that it can be reborn later. And so I think that's kind of the gist. And then the same with 16, anonymity. I think it's just kind of like accepting that you're now like no longer part of her life and she's no longer part of his, I think, but have not listened to it.
Because, it's about her, like, so the lyric, the end of the lyric is, in search of a beholder, she's beautiful despite her flaws, turning a new leaf over, autumn's changing to fall. So, yeah, it's this whole thing of, by tomorrow she'll be leaving, she can't take it here no more, she never cared much for November, and she will not be annoyed. Like, it's, this whole thing of moving on and just, turning a new leaf is pretty much the base of the song. It's the getting over the person and just being like, I'm done with this. I'm moving on type song. And it's, it's a good one.
Absolutely.
Next up is the final track, Anonymity. The breeze plays with her hair. The sun flirts. Persuading her to loosen her skirt. If the grass is our comfort and the clouds are security, I wanna lay with her.
Anonymity. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I haven't heard this in a long time, but I think I get the general gist, but I don't know.
Yeah, the I like the very slow acousticness of it. Granted, that's the very stereotypical end of an album thing where you just put an acoustic song on there to slowly outro the album. But it's just, I don't understand it completely because obviously it says like persuading her to loosen her skirts in the grass of if the grass is our comfort, then the clouds are security. I want to lay with her in this anonymity. Like, I don't get what the laying in anonymity things.
Because he wants to plow, then get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those very, like, if you were to read it, it would just be a poem type songs where it might not, like, listening to the lyrics, you might not be like, oh, I completely understand the story of this, but it's a beautiful song. It's a nice acoustic jam about, obviously, yeah. It's in the final act, so it's about the moving on and being your own person again type thing. And yeah, it's a nice way to end the album, nice slow acoustic jam, but
yeah.
I enjoy it.
It's a good album. Just fucking...
No, yeah. Like we said...
Album.
Yeah, like we said, start to finish, this album is just a phenomenal listen. Just going from the happy to the love to the, you know, sad to the what the fuck am I doing with my life to, like, the fuck it, I'm getting over it type thing. And it's because it's obviously, if you've ever been in a relationship, you have felt all five acts of this song. Hopefully you make it to act five. But
yeah,
some people get stuck in that act four, and that ain't good. But yeah, it's I don't know what else to say about it. It's one of my favorite albums from 2015. Obviously, some of these songs hit home when breakups and shit were happening. But I just love this album, and that's why I was like, fuck it, let's just talk about an album I know, and
it's a great one, and it's one that I haven't listened to in a little while, and now I really want to. So that's cool.
Yeah, I jammed to it at work today. I was just like, God, I forgot how fucking good this album is. But moving on to our newest segment, of course, is the number one country song this week, but not from this year because this year is terrible. This week we are going, I've written out all the years we've done. This is going to be our first song from the 1960s. So we're going back. It was a number one for 3 or 4 weeks. I can't remember the math, but from August 31st to September 21st of 1968 was Merle Haggard's Mama Tried.
All my Sunday learning towards the bad I kept on turning till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. I turned 21 in prison doing life without parole. No one could hear me right, but Mama tried, Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.
So yes,
song sucks.
So this song was, I didn't realize it was that old. I genuinely thought it was like a 70s song. I didn't know it was a 60s song.
I'm going to be honest, the 60s and 70s kind of blend together because of how far away they are from my
existence.
Because
of how 20 years ago, before we were born, they were, yeah.
Exactly. So, I would say the same that you could name a bunch of songs that were released between, like, 65 and 75 and be like, sure.
Yeah.
It is kind of crazy that it's this old. But what a fucking song. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy to think about how long it's been, but then to think about how much has been influenced by this song ever since then. Like, yeah. So many people heard this and were like, that's the shit I like. That's the shit I want to hear more of.
Yeah, from every amazing country artist out there today to even the fucking pop stars who are like, yeah, I grew up on Merle Haggard. I'm like, well, I wish you'd still make the music of Merle Haggard.
But... Yeah, I don't believe you, but I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe that you covered one Merle Haggard song when you were doing open mics back in the day, but
during all those shows in Austin when Midland was cutting their teeth.
Oh, my God.
Not to take unnecessary shots at Midland, because they do produce tremendous recorded work. They really do.
Exactly. But obviously,
#.
For those of you, if you've lived under a rock for the past 40 years, or this is the first episode of ours you're listening to, if it's the first episode, hello, thank you for listening. But if not... we've obviously talked about Mama Tried a few times. It's about a dude who, despite his mom's best efforts, he turned out a shitbag, and he was turning 21 in prison, doing life without parole.
Honestly, name me a better opening line than, I turned 21 in prison doing life without parole. That's fucking great.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal song. It's incredible.
And I do love the whole idea that, like, you know, you always respect mom in country music, and so he's just like, I may be a shithead, But Mom was a saint, and she really tried to make me be better, and it was my fault. I did this. And it's just great. But yeah, seriously, I turned 21 in prison doing life without parole is an all-time starting line, for sure.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, hold on. I had to plug in my phone. It was almost dying.
I don't even know what mine's at, because it doesn't show you. It doesn't show you the battery when you're on a FaceTime call. What kind of nonsense bullshit is this?
The only reason I knew it was dying is because it popped up saying you have 20% left.
But for real, what kind of bullshit flawed design is that? That they don't even give you the battery life when you're on a fucking FaceTime call.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I don't even need to see my dumbass face. Tell me how much my battery is.
Yeah, right. I don't need to look at myself. But yeah, so the reason why we do, if this is your first time listening, like this segment, is because you just go to see what used to be what was popular on the radio. Like, obviously, there have always been hipsters of like, no, listen to this B-side, which we also are because we tell people about B-side songs all the fucking time.
Yes, sure. But, and there's nothing wrong with, there's nothing wrong, I guess the whole point, you know, like you're saying, is there's nothing wrong with liking popular shit, and there's nothing wrong with liking not popular shit. It's just, holy fuck, has there been a massive change in the popular shit.
Exactly. The fact that people used to, that the stadium acts back then were Merle Haggard. Like, that music like this is what the popular country music was, whereas now it's just not even country music. It's just wannabe pop stars. And it's just, so that's the point of this segment. Like, sometimes, like, we went as soon as 2010, where it was either, like, a Rodney Atkins or Chris Young song was number one. It's just like, listen to even just that 9-10 years ago of what was on the radio, not even having to go back to the 60s and 70s to listen to that stuff. Like, just a decade ago, there was such great music on the radio, and now it's all the same fucking shit. It all sounds the same of just bad pop music. And
yeah, it's for sure the fact that instead of trying to get more country fans through being country, they decided, hey, what's the easiest way to get more fans? Well, let's just do the thing that all the other people
try
are doing.
Bogarting in the pop fucking realm.
Exactly. Pop music is popular music. That's literally what it's fucking titled after. And so they're just like, why don't we just make pop music? And everyone was like, okay. And then I was like, fuck you. And then everyone was like, you're a racist because you don't like Old Town Road. I'm like, fuck you, that's not accurate.
It's true.
I don't even hate that song. Is the funniest part is that the song is really stupid, and I will to the, you know, end of my days talk about how the lyrics in that song are fucking nonsense. But it's catchy as shit. It's a rap song. Who cares?
Horses, whatever.
Bull riding and boobies is hilarious, though.
That's right. Bull riding and boobies. That's what it is. If you haven't, I don't remember what episode it is, but go back in the store. Dramatic reading of Old Town.
Dramatic reading. Haven't had one in a while.
Yeah, we'll have to find a new.
We gotta
song
have
to do that.
Something garbage will come out soon. I know it.
Yeah, exactly.
I know it.
Moving on though to albums of last week. It's only the first week of we're now in the second week. So if you're listening to this on Friday, there'll be more albums out. But this week we already have 6 albums worth listening to that have come out. The first one is The High Women, the self-titled album.
Oh, I started listening to it. I really like it. But I haven't gotten through it all yet, obviously. So far so good.
No, yeah, I listened to it. Obviously, if you went back and listened to our discussion about The High Women, how I was saying that, it's just all these women anthems. Those are literally the songs they released, and the rest are so good. That ones that weren't released ahead of time. It's an, I can't remember what the, I'll have to look it up later, but there was one track on it that like blew my fucking mind. I was like, this is an amazing song. Holy shit.
Well, and they're so talented as singers, and they really do blend well when they sing.
Yeah. I'm just going to try and see if I can find it quick.
Indeed.
That's not it. High women.
They get high, and they're women.
Oh, it was, I'm pretty sure it was If She Ever Leaves Me, which is a great fucking song, because it's, I'm pretty sure Brandi Carlile is the one who sings it, and, nice. It's a song about she singing about a woman leaving her, and so it's, you know, a very open song about that, and I like the line because he goes, if she ever leaves me, it won't be for you, and it's just like this fucking, because I'm pretty sure she's singing it like the song is aimed at a guy. So it's just like, hey, if she leaves me, she's still not going to leave me for you because you're a dude.
That's funny.
Like,
and, yeah. But it's, I have not gotten to that one yet, but I look forward to checking it out for sure.
No, yeah,
Brandon Carlile's amazing.
Yeah, it's a really good album, and I was definitely proven wrong with it because I really did think it was just going to be feminist fucking like women anthems. But no, it's just a really good country album. I'm still not a fan of the High Woman song. I understand we found out that the guy who wrote Highwayman helped write it. I'm like, I don't care. It's still a pandering thing.
Yeah, you don't have to like it. And there's you're not forced to. That's the beauty of music and liking what you like.
Exactly, just like how Old Town Road is the best country song ever. Next up is...
Don't you forget it.
Next up is Paul Coffin's Room 41. This album
is
a jam.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that came out. Fuck, yeah, I gotta get on that.
Yeah, it came out.
Paul.
It's Paul. It was definitely less country than his previous one, but it is still a jam album. And
well, so his... When I saw him live, he was jamming. And so I had a feeling that his new album would be in that vein because they really were just like, I mean, they were like in every sense over, they were just fucking jamming out and just having a great time. And I'm like, oh shit. Okay.
Yeah. It's a great album. It's just, it's not as country as one would hope, but it is still a phenomenal album. Next up is Trisha Yearwood's Every Girl. It's Trisha. She's a traditional country artist. It's definitely, I didn't listen to the whole thing, but what I heard of it, I liked. So it was worth a mention.
Word.
Next is Sister Hazel's Earth. It's like their fourth or fifth or sixth or whatever EP of that like collection of Earth, Wind, Fire.
Oh yeah.
Like EP selection. It's a good. I mean, it sounds like all their other ones. It's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah.
Next is Crystal Gayle's You Don't Know Me. I honestly don't.
You're right.
Know.
I don't.
No. That. Yeah. No, literally, I don't know who she is. Because she's older on her album cover, but when you go to like Spotify, it's a very young photo of her. So I'm guessing she's been around for quite a while, but I don't know her music. But I liked what I heard. It was a good album.
Interesting.
And then finally, actually, this one might be my favorite of the week, even more than the High Woman album, is I don't know how to say her first name because it's spelled I-L-S-E. If it was I-S-L-E, it'd be Isle. But I don't know if it's I-L-S-E is Isle still, or if it's Ilse?
It could be Elsa.
Elsa, maybe? I don't know. I'll just say Isle.
It's a name in Frozen.
That's totally spelled different. But Isle DeLang, Gravel and Dust. This one, it's a very folk, traditional country album, and I fucking love this one. This one is my favorite of the week by far. I do like the Highwayman one, but this one is so good. I suggest everyone listen to it. Again, that's I-L-S-E, DeLang, which is D-E-L-A-N-G-E. Definitely check her out. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal album.
Nice.
Anyway,
yeah, I got some fucking listening to do.
Yeah. I forgot to write. Anything else you were listening to or watching or doing or whatever?
Just looking over at my vinyls. Brandi Carlile's is the last that I was listening to. That album is a fucking masterpiece. Don't get all up in my mentions yelling at me for saying this, but it was the best album of the year. It should have won instead of Kacey Musgraves. Sorry, not sorry. It's a fucking masterpiece.
Oh, speaking of Brandi Carlile, I was listening to Bert Kreischer's podcast today. He had a comedian named Joe List on, and they were talking about music, and he goes, what do you like listening to? He said some band, I can't remember what band he said he liked. It was, you know, just a famous band everyone knows. And he goes, and I really love Brandi Carlile. I was like, oh damn, this guy's a fan of Brandi.
Hell yeah.
And so Bert's like, oh, who's that? I gotta look her up. And like on the podcast, he's looking up and saved her album. And he's just like, yeah, she gets thrown into the country a lot, but she's kind of a rocker. And I was just like, yeah, I guess she's a southern rockish kind of, but she's definitely traditional in a sense too. But so that guy was a fan of Brandi Carlile, and I was like, oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah,
but
I've had the title track stuck in my head for fucking days. The by the way, I forgive you.
Oh, so good. Yeah. It's a good one. The other two that I was listening to, obviously, I forgot to fucking write it down to talk about. Kylie Rae Harris passed away.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Which is a
very fucking
sad
tragic
thing. Yeah, I threw on her her EP. I was listening to that a bunch because... Actually, someone from, I think her, like, you know, not producer, promotion like people, they sent me Big Ol' Heartache a long time ago, and I loved it, and I was listening to it a lot. But yeah, it's on her self-titled EP, which came out this year, and yeah, sadly she passed away, and that's not good at all, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I was also really stupid, and I knew it as soon as I said it, that the By the Way I Forgive You is not the title track, it is just the line in the song every time I hear that song.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, but yeah, so Kylie Rae Harris is what I was listening to. I also got sent this artist who you said you had heard the song I've Been Drinking More, Jason James. I got sent it because he has an album coming out soon,
yes.
So look forward to that. He's a very 50s, 60s, 70s sounding traditional country artist, and it's very, 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 very good. So listen to that.
Yes. I've Been Drinking More since You've Been Loving Me Less song. I don't remember when I first heard it, but that is one that pops into my brain every once in a while because it just fucking belts it out.
Oh, yeah.
I've Been Drinking More.
Yeah. So you can find us at CountryHodgePodge.com, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Country Hodgepodge on Twitter, or not Twitter, Instagram. You can also find Unbearable, which is our football podcast, Spotify, you can find Hodgepodge Picks, where we upload all the songs we talk about each time that you should listen to. You can also find Kevin's Picks of the Week, which we have on the website. We tweet it. It's also, if you search the username Donkey Factory, which is one word.
Donkey.
Then This Month in Country, where we upload all the albums that come out in a month before we talk about it at the start of the next month. And then they all get moved over to 2019 in Country, which is a playlist of every album that's come out this year. It's a very long playlist, but it's quality music.
Yeah.
You can buy one of our shirts on a link through the site on tpublic.com. Search Country Hodgepodge. God Bless American Aquarium. We got the Americana Powerhouse. We got other ones. Check them out. They're awesome. White Claw Country.
Try it out.
I'm tired. On Twitter, you can find Kevin at CHP_Church. He's also now the leader of the Country Hodgepodge Twitter, so harass him because I'm tired of Twitter, and I deleted it.
Done zero whole tweets, so look out.
Yeah. I
but I did log in. It works. Ha ha ha.
I rarely tweeted on it either, so I don't really care. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud or find us wherever you want to. Spotify, hooray, yum, 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 sit on my face. but that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be talking about Sam Hunt if we're not hashtag canceled. So, yeah, until next week, I'm Steve Hodge, as always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good Charlotte.
Yeah.